today on Real Radio.
We were the righteous dudes. Grace was for weak people. That's what grace was for those who couldn't get up at four, to those who couldn't tithe more, to those who couldn't do more. See, grace was for the weak people, and that's exactly how the cults think.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called There's No Other Gospel, Part 2, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering chapter 1 with verses 1 through 10. How can we who are truly sinful by nature come to a God who is truly holy by nature? For our sins have separated us from God, and even now sin dominates our lives. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to the churches in Galatia with a deep concern that they've strayed from the true gospel. For the true gospel means that we're putting our faith in Christ and Christ alone. Salvation doesn't come from obeying the law or by doing good works. And we can't keep our salvation by trying to earn our way to heaven. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when grace reigns in our hearts, we no longer have to struggle. For it's the grace of God that brings the peace of God. And the more we rest and put our trust in God, the more we can achieve in His strength and according to His will. And now continuing his lesson called There's No Other Gospel, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Tell you, my heart is stirred because after first service, this man, he said he stumbled into the church today. Never been here before. About 43, 44 years of age, sat down, heard the gospel. He's moved to tears. He came up to me and he said, you're talking to me today. This was me you were speaking about. I'm this one. I need Christ. And I said, then pray. Let's pray. No, I don't want to pray. Accept Christ. No, I don't want to do that. He was like the rich young ruler. He came all excited. He was almost falling down on his knees. Oh, what must I do to be saved? Accept Christ. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. And he left. And I thought, nothing's changed. 2,000 years, men's hearts are the same. The gospel goes out, and men will either open their heart or they'll close their heart. And I thought about this man, and we prayed about him in following services today. Lord, may he not rest tonight. May he not sleep day or night until he decides on you, Jesus, to choose Christ. Brings us to our second study of this important message. There's no other gospel, verses 3 to 5, and that is this. There's no other gospel effective. Can you jot that down in your notes? No other gospel effective. How so? First of all, this gospel is so effective that we accept Christ, we immediately become acceptable to God. Watch this. He says here, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Circle the word grace. Paul uses the Greek word that means, listen, it means divinely bestowed favor. You hear that? You almost have to watch me. Like this. This divinely bestowed favor. God gives the grace. Okay, everybody? How much do you have to pay to get it? Anybody?
Zero.
How much works do you have to do to get grace? Anybody? The word means, in the scriptures, freely offered, unearned, unmerited, God bestowed favor. It's like, have you ever been or have you ever seen somebody who's just teacher's pet and you're wondering, what's with them? How come they're teacher's pet? Well, in a human way, that teacher bestowed upon them unearned favor. Now, that teacher may say, well, this little kid is funny or cute or reminds me of my little boy or whatever the story is. It doesn't matter. It's that teacher's right, though I think it's wrong. It's that teacher's right to select that child to be their favorite child. They do that. People do that. Well, God says, hey, upon you, upon who? You. Grace be to you. Well, who is that? Well, how about you? Now watch this. The church at Galatia thought that they could accept the grace of God and then perfect themselves in human works. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. We'll take it from here. And we laugh, but you know what? We're guilty. We are guilty of the sin of Galatianism. You want to know why? Because we don't do well with grace. Grace is an extension. It's an unearned thing. I grew up in a military home. You earned. It was taught by my dad into our heads. Son, no one's going to give you anything. What you get in this life, you will get out by your blood, sweat, and tears. So pour yourself into it. Yes, sir. And you know what? I found out that's not true. Are you ready for this? It's not what you know. It's who you know. You know Jesus? How dare you insult me? I have a PhD in theology and I'm a master of this and whatever. I don't care. Do you know it's not what you know? It's who you know. Grace. The greatest example of grace that I've ever read of in the Bible ever. In fact, maybe ever in life, is the thief on the cross. He's on the cross. And listen, he doesn't even do it right. He says, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? What kind of altar call response was that? We didn't hear Jesus say, now everybody just calm down. Ushers, open the gates. The buses will wait. You come forward and come at the foot of my cross. He didn't say that. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Right then and there, if you were of the Galatianism thinking, you would have said, oh, no, time out. Thief on the cross, you got to do a couple of children's ministry weeks, or you got to do a few Hail Marys, or you got to do a couple of church cleaning episodes. You got to do something. I mean, you expect to get to heaven just by calling upon him? Well, on the authority of the word of Jesus himself, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that thief on the cross did nothing. He did nothing. When was he baptized? He wasn't even baptized. He didn't even tithe. How could he get to heaven but not tithing? And I make light of this, but watch this. I'm dead serious. I'm coming around to get you from behind. Here's the deal. I grew up in one of the most wonderful churches that preached and taught on grace. And I got saved. In fact, I told you before, I wasn't even looking for a church. I was not even a Christian. I, like this man this morning, stumbles into this church, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, 25 years ago. The gospel's presented. I've never heard it before. Couldn't believe it. Then I realized, I'm in a church. God had to do that to me because I wouldn't have gone in. What is this? Oh my gosh. What's Greg Laurie saying? That if I reject Jesus tonight, it could be my last chance? Forget that. I'm going down there. And I went forward. Now listen, going forward didn't save me. Did you know that? Going back to the prayer room didn't save me either. When that message went out, and he was teaching on Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, behold, there's a great white throne, and all the dead, small and great, stood before the Lord, and the books were opened, the dead were judged out of those things written in the book, and those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into hell. What? Yikes. That's me. Nobody told me. Nobody said, you foul sinner in the back, you! This message is for you! No, you know what? The Holy Spirit went like this. Jack, you are the one he's talking to. Going forward, listen, now I know as a Christian, I'd gotten saved in my seat. And I had to go forward. There was a spring, not in the chair, but in my rear. I had to get up. I had to go. Why? Because honestly, theologically, I was already saved. I got saved in an instant. He preached the message. Jesus is the only way. God, I've never heard this. Yes, Jesus, I receive you, my Lord and Savior. And when Greg Laurie says, if you want to accept Christ, come forward. That was only the outward manifestation of an inside decision. Yeah. And yet I've bumped into people who say, well, don't talk to me. I went forward to the Billy Graham crusade back in 86. Don't even talk to me. What? Or I was baptized last week or last year or 10 years ago. Don't talk to me about Christ. Don't talk to me about Christ. You're trusting in Galatianism. You're trusting in your own performance. Do you realize that God's grace? In second service, there's a precious young woman who comes here. I would estimate, if you looked at her body, to be 10. I think her parents told me she's around 18 or 19. She's crippled everywhere except her brain. And she loves coming here. She comes every week. She loves the Lord. You know what? Today, sitting right over here, Robert, right where you're sitting, she was there today with the biggest smile on her face. In this, housed in this body from birth that's broken. You know what? She can't go to the foreign mission field. She can't even write a tithe check. She can't dig a shovel at the property. She can't help children. She is locked in a body. And let me ask you something. If salvation were not of faith alone in Jesus Christ, she would have no hope. Because think, what could she do? Aren't you glad that what God has done for us, He's done it all. All to Him we owe. Right? For sin had left its crimson stain, but He washed it as white as snow. Grace of God. Now here's the deal. Growing up in a church like that, I heard grace all the time. And I got saved and it was wonderful. And Pastor Chuck would sit there and smile with that smile all week long. And I was so excited. I kept going. I didn't lose. My friends never talked to me again after that. They abandoned me. Friends. I thought they were friends. Come to find out it was a good thing that God left me alone with Him. I sat in that huge church, and being alone with God in that huge church was the best thing for me. And Monday night, Gray Glory, and all these various nights of the week, Chuck Missler on Wednesday nights, and the New Believers Fella, and all of this stuff was great. And here's what happened. Saved, just rejoicing in the Lord. You know what happened? For the following 3 years, though, after that, I became very miserable. So what happened? You want to know what happened? The same thing that happened to the churches in Galatia, I began to think, wait a minute. As I'm listening to Pastor Chuck do this message, I think I know what verse he's going to go to next. In fact, I'm going to write it down, see what happens. Ask my wife. I'd write down the verse, then he'd say it. Well, if I were him, I'd go to this. I'd make this my next point. So I'd write it down, and then he'd make that his next point. Instead of me saying, God, wow, you're calling me to be a teacher. That's what you're doing. You know what I did? I began to think, I'm bored. And I began to hang out with guys, and we began to get real twisted in our theology. We became just like the Galatian people in the region of old. You know Richard Cimino up at Grass Valley? He was one of the victims. Him and I, we began reading books by, I'm not going to name these guys' names because you know them, but they're books about if you don't pray, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day, you're a loser, you're probably not even saved. So we, write that down. And we began to write this stuff in, and we're reading all these books. I'm not talking about like the Book of Mormon or the Tibetan Book of the Dead or, these were Christian books from good old Puritans of yesteryear. But the thing was, in fact, Romaine said, put those books down. Well, you know why? Richard Cimino, him and I, we got into this holiness club. And then Brian Broderson, the guy you hear unto every man an answer, we totally messed him up too. And we used to walk around Costa Mesa. Hey, want to pray with us tomorrow? Well, yeah, sure. Why not now? Oh, no. Tomorrow, 4 a.m., our house. We would pray from 4 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the morning every day. And if you didn't show up, you were a loser. We were the righteous dudes. Grace was for weak people. That's what grace was for those who couldn't get up at 4, to those who couldn't tithe more, to those who couldn't do more. See, grace was for the weak people, and that's exactly how the cults think. You Christians, you're weak. Your gospel's weak. Your Jesus is weak. See, what we do is we have a message and then we pump it up with our own efforts. We know what we've done and we're trusting in it. You come to faith in Christ, yeah, but now that you have, you do this, 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 and this, and you'll be saved. And they go so far to even say that you, if you perform certain rites and rituals, you can be the savior of another man. And deliver them from their eternal plight by being baptized in their place. If an angel comes and preaches any other gospel, Paul said in verses 8 and 9, let that messenger be cursed. Why? The gospel is so simple. It has to be simple. And it works a wonderful work in our lives if we'll receive this wonderful gospel that we become accepted by him. And then he says peace. Peace, he uses the word shalom in Hebrew, the shalom, Hebrew word. Peace. And this is the peace of now no more warring with God. We're at peace with God. Why? Because we understand the grace of God. Christian, do you understand there's nothing you can do today to better your position with God? You know what? When we did all that praying and all that stuff, we became big-headed, little-hearted, erring believers. We were gross. And boy, I tell you, if you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Hey, you're right. It's wonderful to pray for 3 hours. Jesus loves you just as much, and you're accepted as him if you do or if you do not. If you begin to hook your merit to what you do, you are in deep trouble. Deep. Let everything flow from your life because you are saved, and he does love you. Let that be your drive. Well, I went to school and my parents paid for all the money and all that stuff. And, you know, I guess I should go into the church work, you know, and be a pastor. Not through men, not of men, but through Christ Jesus. Men can call you, but they may not call you back. But when God calls you, his giftings and his work is given without him taking it back. He's so faithful. Listen, not only that, but this peace, this grace that we have now, we get to enjoy this peace that is a wonderful quietness of soul. It's a quietness of spirit. It's a rest. It's a knowledge of knowing that I'm no longer warring with God. And this is very important, the word used. I'm not warring with God. Every Christian in this place who has entered into the grace of God is no longer fighting with God in performance. Are you with me? You rest. And I have found, let me strike that. I am beginning to find out that the more I rest in God, the more I'm able to achieve in this world. It's weird. I can set my alarm for 4 o'clock and live all day long for God. But when I relax, trust in the Lord, and let him live his life through me, I wind up accomplishing more in one day eternally for his glory than what I would do by working my tail off. It's a weird thing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Listen to this. This gospel that he gives us is not only one that sets us free and brings us into a place of being accepted and causes us to cease from struggling, but it brings to us the knowledge of a blessed God. How so? Look at verses 4 and 5. Who gave, he says. It's the Lord who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen, he says. The word gave here in Greek means to be gifted. He gifts. He does it. It's his excitement. Have you ever seen somebody who wants to give a gift and they're really excited about it? It's almost funny. Come on, open it, open it. All right, I'll get to it. No, open it, open it. You ever been in that kind of thing? It's kind of funny. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Open it. Wait, come on. I drive my kids nuts at Christmas. I go really slow. And I kind of got this tactic. It's Christmas. They're, everything's flying. And I just go really slow. And it's kind of fun because I kind of wait toward the end. And for me, I'm super blessed, though they don't know it. I'm watching them open their gifts. Being their parent, I'm super happy about that. And then I get gifts from them. What a crack up. I'm super blessed. Being a parent that way, I'm super blessed. Well, listen, when it says there that he gave himself for our sins, this is an amazing word. In 1 Timothy 1:11, get a load of this. 1 Timothy 1:11, the second part of that verse says this, that it is the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Almost sounds like a name of a church. The Church of the Glorious Gospel of the Blessed God. Blessed God? Yeah, the word in Greek means, are you ready? Write it down. It means to be happy. Of the happy God. This is the gospel of the happy God. Happy-faced, one commentator put it. That God is a happy face now. Well, wait, how did that happen? Ooh, are you ready? Jot this down. This is, in my opinion, this is about as deep as it ever gets. Isaiah 53, verse 6 and verse 10. Isaiah 53, 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10. Yet it pleased, the word in Hebrew is, put a happy face on the Father to bruise the Lord, his son, for the Lord has put him to grief when he sees his soul an offering for sin or our sin. Isaiah 53:10. Wow. The Father got a happy face when Jesus was dying on the cross for us. Now, granted, the Father knew that he'd have his son back in 3 days. What's the Father smiling about? That Jesus died in our place. That we who cannot save ourselves, he died in our place for us. And the Father has a happy face on his countenance that through my precious servant, my son, he will bear the sin and justify many. Watch what this does to Galatianism. It kills it. If Jesus did it all on the cross and put a happy face on God, then watch this. If I walk around in my Galatianism, I'll say, how you doing? I'm all right. What's the matter? Oh, just trying to make it. Make it through what? My Christian walk, you know? I'm really trying hard. Why don't you stop? I mean, it's like, yeah, praise the Lord. Want to accept Christ? No. I don't want to have what you have. Get away from me. I'll wash my hands. Go.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called There's No Other Gospel, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you open your heart to God's unearned favor and not try to perfect yourselves by doing good. There's No Other Gospel, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that defines the struggles we endure between faith and works and the doctrine of justification, which is promised to every true believer. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, we just recently finished up our Life and Times of Jesus Christ series. Now, you can pick up this series on a USB thumb drive. We'll be glad to send that to you for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Get a hold of us and tell us that you would like the USB thumb drive of the series called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. What a great series. We know for a fact that this series made a big difference in a lot of folks' lives. So if you've got somebody in your life that you think might enjoy the series, get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and ask for your copy of the Life and Times of Jesus Christ series on the USB thumb drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org for all the info you need. You know, if you are new to Christianity and you'd like to know more about Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. It's a great place to be introduced to the Lord and to learn more about what we've been talking about here on the program. Maybe you have somebody in your life and you don't feel comfortable being the one telling them how to know God. Well, why don't you let us help you with that? Send your friend or loved one to the reallifewithjackhibbs.org website and have them click on the Know God tab. By the way, next time you're on YouTube, why don't you set up your notifications to let you know when Pastor Jack has put something new up on YouTube? Wouldn't that be great? Just go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.